It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Jonah, and we just love the study of this precious book. So much to learn, and so pleased that you would be able to hope you can turn to Jonah. And we're going to begin reading the first verse, chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 11 and maybe even down to verse 14. But while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to phone us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies there for you to learn and grow from. I hope that you enjoy them. I hope they're a blessing to you. Our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, all that is there as well. And also, if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com or parkviewbible@gmail.com. Either will work just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Jonah, chapter 1, beginning with read with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's sake. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. We're going to end the reading there. Go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study today. Father, thank you. I praise you today that we have this opportunity to enjoy, to read your precious word, to walk each day with you. It's so important, and we know that all this begins the day we meet you as our Lord and Savior. But when we have trusted in you, went to the cross of Calvary. You died on that cross. You shed your blood. You were buried, and you rose again. And I know that there, right there, is where my sins were taken and nailed to that cross. And when you died, they were gone. You took care of my sin. But I must come and accept you as my Savior. And it's a decision, Father, we know that we need to make, a personal decision. We need to ask you to come into our hearts, and you are faithful to save us. And so please, dear Lord, please, that all that are listening will call upon you today that have not. And then they begin that walk. And that walk is not just, okay, I've made that decision. Now we need to learn more and more about you. And we're going to learn much today, Father, in this book of Jonah about that walk and that life. And so please, guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This study here is a wonderful study, and we have gotten ourselves down to the 11th verse. I wanted to read the rest of those verses, and we're just kind of reread here just a little bit. We know that the lot fell upon Jonah. You know, God has a way of working those things out. We are not to gamble or anything like that, but in the Old Testament times, before we were to the day of grace, or this time of grace that we're in now. At that time, why, God would use many things to direct and to show people. And I believe that without question, that lot, as they cast those dice, so to speak, it fell upon Jonah. There was no question about that. And then they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause for this evil is upon us? For what is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" You see, he very quietly just entered that ship, paid the fare. We've talked about he went down, down, down. And any time as a believer in God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you decide that you're going to go your own way, and you're not going to follow the way that God would desire you to go, you're going to be going down, constantly down. Now, you still have your salvation. I know a lot of people question that. How can you turn your back on God and still be saved? It's because God saves us. It's nothing we do. It's nothing we could do to be saved. Everything is a work of God. We just need to come by faith to Him and walk with Him and enjoy them to have the blessings. Well, he didn't give any testimony. He didn't come in there and says, "Who I am, and here I was supposed to go to Nineveh, and I chose not to, and so I'm going to take this ship, and we're off." Well, he didn't share any of that. And so now in verse 9 he begins. He said to them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." He accepted without question that God's the creator of the world. He knew that. He didn't question that. And he said that he feared the Lord. "I fear the Lord." And then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Now, as we kind of stop there just a little bit, isn't that something, that even though Jonah had no testimony whatsoever, God had a testimony? And the fear that came over these mariners, these sailors that were with him, was a great fear. Why did that fear come upon them? Because they had, somewhere in time, they have enjoyed or experienced, would be a better word, experienced God's power. We're not sure where, we're not sure when. But when he said, "I am a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land," the men were exceedingly afraid. And said, "Why hast you done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Why were they scared? Why did they fear the creator of the world? Because I believe that they had heard of or witnessed themselves, experienced the judgment of God upon other people, possibly upon themselves. But there was great fear there. You know, they all cried to their own, if you'll remember back here. And Let's just jump up here to about verse 4. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid, cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. Jonah just desired to run away from the Lord. And that is a dangerous thing to do. And so here we have the tempest, the great storm, and let's see where it came from. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. So there's no question why this storm is here. So that kind of brings this conversation now. The witness that the Lord had through some means to these people, they were scared to death enough that they emptied out the ship. The storm was so bad, and then they were exceedingly afraid when they found out that it was the Creator, the God of heaven, the Lord. When they saw that, that's what they learned, and there was great fear upon them as they looked at that, and so. That's kind of where we're going to start now in verse 11 here. So again, now we begin, and we're going to look at this 11th verse. We've kind of built up to it, and it's a wonderful study just getting there. So in a storm or in the middle of a storm, that's where we find Jonah. Now, what are the reasons for the storm? Now, they understood that there was a reason for the storm. Because if you'll notice here, the mariners were afraid and cried, every man to his God, cast the wares off. And then when we get into this over here in the area with Jonah, we've just read with verse 8, 9, 10, we find that there's no question they know that this has taken place after they find out who he is and that he believes in the true God. Then they were afraid, exceedingly afraid, because they were told. So they understood that there was a reason for the storm, and that storm, the reason for it, was all about this one man, Jonah. Somewhere along the line, he had angered his God. They understood that. And so question is, what shall we do? And that was exactly what the question is here. Then they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? So they understood in all their superstitions and all the gods that they called on and surrendered to, all those things, we find here that they recognized that the problem was Jonah. And again, Jonah had angered his God. So what shall we do was the question to Jonah. Sometimes a storm comes, and it's a test, or you could call it a trial. God does things in our life to test us. Now, it's not for the purpose to, you know, as you were in school, to see that you could pass an exam. But a test always had a purpose, and that purpose is to, number one, find out where we are, and then prepare us for where we're going. Those two things. And sometimes it's a matter of, in Jonah's case, of not, you know, yes, where we're going, but where he was supposed to be going. With this test, God wants a reaction. He wants an action when this test comes. Now, I don't know what kind of a storm that you may be in. You're not out in a ship, or at least I don't think you are, out in a boat, and all of a sudden the wind comes up and it's so fierce, as this scripture tells us. And so, you know, you may not be in those circumstances, that situation, but you may be in a situation today where there is sickness in your family. Maybe it's a problem with a relationship. Maybe it's a problem with the the job you have. Maybe you've lost your job, and it's a whole different circumstances, and you're blaming God. God, why am I? I've always served you. I've always followed you, Father. Why? Why would you put me through this? There is a reason for this storm. There's a reason for this trial, and to begin with, it shows us, and God already knows, but it shows us exactly how far we have grown. When we have this test, we have this tribulation, what happens to you? What happens to me? Do we accept the trial that we're going through? Do we look to see if we have done something to cause this problem? Is it something that should be turning us around the other way? Is it just to see that I have grown? And last time, if this would have happened to me a year ago, I would have just thrown a fit, and I would have stomped my feet and screamed and cursed and everything. But today I didn't. Today, when I faced a very similar test, I was calm, I sought the Lord's will, and I took care of what I needed to take care of according to God's direction. Is that how, there's a test, and that test comes, and I've watched that in many people's lives. And in many people's lives, when that test comes, they leave the church. They leave serving God. They're bitter. They don't understand how come this is taking place. Or they look at the storm and question the only one that can answer it, and that's God. God, why am I going through this? With this test that God has sent us, and it is a test, how are we going to react? Are we going to react the right way? Is it going to strengthen us? Is it going to strengthen our faith? What God is doing is trying to get us ready for tomorrow. He's preparing us for tomorrow. When you're in school and you do your daily homework, and you turn that homework in, you get a grade upon that homework. The grade is one thing, but it's preparing you. It's preparing you for the final exam. But not only for the final exam, it's also preparing you for life. And so learn the discipline of studying. Learn the discipline of working. Sad to say, most parents today teach their kids how to play. They don't teach them how to work. Teach them how to work. They'll figure out how to play on their own. Teach them how to work. So, they are just a child now, or they're just a teenager now. They don't have to put in the full workload that an adult does, but they need to learn how to work, take instruction, all these things. And as a believer, and in God's plan, we need to understand that we don't know tomorrow, but God does. And so there's times that He does bring storms up on our lives to stop us going the direction we're going, so that we'll turn around and go the direction He wants us to. Sometimes it's just a matter of our growth, for us to learn, for us to be stronger. But sometimes, as in Jonah's case, it's to turn him around. He has something for him to do. And right now, Jonah's not paying much attention. The purpose is that He can prepare us for tomorrow, and so that when tomorrow comes, it'll be a day of victory. It'll be a day of joy and peace. Satan, he comes to defeat. He comes to tear down. He comes to destroy us. That's what Satan does. Now, if you have chosen not to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you'll realize that there is only one other God. Now, a lot of people bow down to a lot of gods, but all of those other gods are Satan's, are little demons, so to speak. And the devil is their boss. And so you say, well, I just don't believe that I need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Well, then your boss, your controller is the devil himself. And so his purpose in your life is to build you up, to make you arrogant, to make you selfish, to make you self-centered. And his goal is to destroy you, because he doesn't want you serving God. He doesn't want you receive blessings. And that's the reason that he brings in drugs. Satan brings in alcohol, brings in the cigarettes. He brings in all this nonsense that's coming into our society now. The land and the countries and things that are saying that marijuana is fine. It's not fine. It's a destroying drug. Now, you make a choice and you decide whether it needs to be outlawed or be a law. But I'm saying stay away from it. I don't care whether it's you can freely do it or not. We need to stand and serve the Lord Jesus. And as long as that devil can get you hooked on something that takes your mind away and doesn't allow you to think clearly, and you think you're getting away from reality, well, you are, but it's to your own destruction, and that's what Satan wants. And so please, stay away from all those things, all this nonsense and the garbage that's out there today. And just, you know, God says, you know, everything in moderation. Well, yes. But don't take anything that alters your mind, that's going to destroy your body. Those things are all man-made. We need to enjoy this life and come and walk each day serving the Lord Jesus. Satan's behind all of it. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy the church. And he wants to destroy you. And this old world's devil-driven without question. And you can see that today in this world. You can see that in the politics of this world. You can see that everywhere. Self-centered, selfishness, handouts. No, this, I'm going to tell you, the scripture is very clear. If you don't work, you don't eat. Now, there are a few folks that need a handout, that need help, but they need to do something for it, and they can. They can do something. We're in a mess. Satan is ruling this world without question today, and he wants to defeat this country, this great country we live in. He wants to defeat the people that live in this country, every citizen. He wants to rule and to reign. He wants to tear down. He wants to destroy them. Now, God, our God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us, and God the Father, through the storms, wants to build us up. He wants to strengthen us. You know, we find that in the example of Job, back in the book of Job, if you haven't read that for a while, read it. You know, the old devil went before God and he said, you know, well, look at what you've all given to Job. No wonder that he praises you. Let me take some of those things away and he'll curse you. Well, God gave him a rein. He gave that old devil, he gave Satan the opportunity, and he began to take things from Job. Took everything, including his children. But Job wouldn't curse the Lord. See, I don't serve God because of things he gives me. I serve God because he has given the greatest in gifts, and that's his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave Jesus and allowed him that he would go on to the cross and die for my sins, that I could be set free, that I could walk each and every day serving the Lord, praising the Lord, having the joy in my heart that could not be gotten by anything in this life. I don't care how much money you have or how much power you have. That's where people go to receive joy, and they it's not there. And so they're hungry and more hungry for more and more of it. And so Job, he thought he had him. And Job could have asked, you know, Lord, why this storm? The storm wasn't as Jonah faced, but it sure was a storm. Lost everything. Lost everything. Your home, your livestock, your land, and his children. Why the storm? You know, what a job that God has to do to take a vessel like me and make it like his son Jesus. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to take an awful, wicked vessel like me and make it like Jesus. What a joy. What an opportunity. To me, that seems like a hopeless case. It seems like a hopeless job. The only way that it can come is through a storm. Through a storm. And you say, why? Why do I have to go through a storm to serve God? Because you see, God knows our nature. When we fell into sin, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and we from ever since then, every generation, every person that's ever lived was born in sin. And so for us to be rescued, he had to send his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross. That was God's plan. But even when we are saved, born again, we still live in the flesh. And that old sinful flesh, it just, you know, I'm born again, I've been made new. But that old sinful flesh just keeps digging its way out. And so if we were so blessed with everything, if we had all the money we need, the everything that we need, our nature, even though we're born again, our nature would be to not serve God. We have to go through trials and storms to bring us back to reality of who we are and how helpless we are and what we need and who we need. And we need Jesus. And we need to be more like the Lord Jesus. Well, this is all the work that's going through. So the question comes as we look at these wonderful scriptures. Sometimes the storm will come for the purpose of discipline. If it's for discipline, it's still made for victory. It's still made for victory. Because God's trying to bring you back so that you can have the peace and the joy and enjoy every day. Jonah was so stubborn that he was willing to die rather than to surrender and to serve. But how are we different? How stubborn can we be sometimes? We always try to be doing something else that always seems to please self. And, well, I don't need to go to church today. You know, I've been there for the last 3 weeks. And, oh, I don't need to go on Wednesday night. It's not important. It is important. We need to come out of this world and come into a place that we can enjoy the Word of God and grow together. Whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday afternoon, whatever time we have that we study the Scripture. My dear friend, what are we going to do about Jesus?